And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's good to be with you this
Today's
morning.
Today's broadcast is pre...
Oh, maybe I should push the button and turn it off. That's a good way to start the program, isn't it? This program is called Health Essentials. I would like to think that there are people that are interested in doing what they can to help themselves. And sometimes it's just a matter of knowing what causes what or what to do. I know that there is a system that says, let's completely wait until your body has a catastrophic failure. Maybe we're going to wait for cancer to form. We're going to wait for a person to have a heart attack or a stroke, and then we'll take action. Well, I don't think you like that. I certainly don't like that. And I think there's a lot of people that see things our way. We don't want to wait until we have a severe failure of some organ system of the body just to say, well, now I'm going to pay attention. No, your body gives you all these clues. Anyway, sometimes I come across information that I had no idea existed, and I wasn't looking for it. It just kind of fell in my lap, or I stumbled over it. Yeah, that's probably the way to say it. I just stumbled upon the information. Well, I came across this article. It's not long at all, but I think it's back from the year 2006. But it caught my attention for a couple of reasons, and I'll kind of share that with you. We'll just kind of flesh it out simply. It has to do with the type of mushroom called an oyster mushroom. One of the reasons why I thought this was interesting is because you can easily, on different websites, you can order these oyster mushroom grow kits. I think they're like $19.95. And, they completely will grow just about all the mushrooms that you can harvest. It's incredible. Wouldn't that be pretty cool to have just right there under the cabinet or in a dark place, you're growing your own mushrooms that you could add to salad, or maybe you want to saute them and add them to eggs or onions or something like that, or put them in a salad, okay, or soup, okay. Okay, where did I get this right here? Oh, yeah, this is an older in vitro study. I don't know if you know what that means, but that means this was done in a test tube. I don't think that they used real living human beings to do this study on. But what they did was they found some pretty toxic cancer cells that were pretty potent. And these cancer cells were so bad, they're pretty good at destroying people. But anyway, but this older in vitro study, they suggest that oyster mushrooms in particular, they can actually protect a man against prostate cancer. Okay, or protect the prostate against developing cancer. How about I say it that way? Here's the title of the article right here. It comes from Journal of Medicinal Food. Man, I love the sound of that. You know what that sounds like? Let thy medicine be thy food, and let thy food be thy medicine. Was that Socrates? No, I mean Aristotle. No, that was Hippocrates. Okay, the title of the article is Cytotoxic Effect of Oyster Mushroom Pleurotus ostreatus on Human Androgen-Independent Prostate Cancer Cells, PC3 cells. All right, let me read the simple part to you. I'm trying to read the part that I think that we can all grasp hold of and understand, especially as it relates to how do we translate this information into producing good health or healing a tissue that's been damaged. All right, here goes. In the year 2006, a gentleman by the name of Yuhan Gu, he was then at Bastyr University, which Bastyr University, that's an amazing university. They are teaching doctors all over the world how to use natural medicine to help the human organism be healthy and strong, or if they're not healthy, how to heal. And so they published a test tube study in which the researcher exposed PC3 cells. I think that's just short for prostate cancer. And what he did was he took more than 20 edible mushrooms, and all of these extracts were water-soluble or water-based. This particular line of cancer cells, I found this interesting. Oncologists, which... that's the type of a doctor that treats cancer. They found these unique highly aggressive cells in a 67-year-old man back in the 1970s. And so they keep him alive in a test tube, evidently. And so they found this 67-year-old man that had with metastatic prostate cancer. Now, when you hear the term metastatic, do you know what that means? That means the cancer started off in one particular tissue, and in this case, it was the prostate. So the original starting point was these cancer cells growing in the prostate. Now, I know I'm taking a slight detour here this morning, but there's all sorts of ways to communicate. But one of the books that I have, it's going to be filled with probably more technical details about how does cancer actually grow and develop. And it's not really a clean story like you talk about human beings in it and different situations and human experiences and emotions. It's just like black and white technical raw data, like scientific information. Not everybody digs that. I like some of it. Not all of it, I understand, though. But my takeaway point yesterday morning as I was reading this was cancer cells, they tend to have one particular place that they like to grow or originate within a tissue or a gland or an organ. I guess this morning I'm talking about the prostate. That would be exclusive to men. Not even women that think they're men have a prostate. Anyway, enough of that. But cancer cells, according to the researchers, they like to grow in those deep recesses in the tissues where the oxygen levels are absolutely the lowest. Okay? Just kind of hang on to that thought. They don't grow. Their starting point is not growing in the tissues where there's the most oxygen. Are you with me on that? You might start to make a correlation that if you don't want to develop cancer, maybe you need more oxygen, okay? That's one of the reasons that people that walk every day, they have significantly lower levels of cancer because they have more oxygen. All right. The 67-year-old man, this is where they got the cancer cells from. It advanced. It didn't respond to the medication they were giving him. They tried a whole bunch of different drugs, and those are just things that happen in the real world. If an oncologist tries one drug, a second drug, a third drug, another treatment, another experimental drug, and they don't work, well, you kind of come to the conclusion that evidently these forms of cancer just don't respond to the intentions of the oncologist to use an exact, precise anti-cancer drug or chemotherapy. It just doesn't work. Okay? All right. You can't see the chart that I have in front of me, but I'm gonna tell you right now, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like 24 different forms of edible mushrooms, and they're just trying to find out, do any of these do anything to cause the cancer cells to die? So let me tell you, number 3 on the list. I'm looking at the chart right here. I know you can't see that, but what they do is they have them ranked in order of how effective they are, and I'll just go ahead and tell you. The number one mushroom that seemed to kill cancer cells in the test tube was called an oyster mushroom. And please, just for kicks, go to Amazon.com, look up oyster mushroom home grow kit, and you'll find it. You can grow as many as you want. That was number one. Now, a close second, I shouldn't do this because it's just, I'm going to mispronounce it, but the mushroom's name is Flamulina voluptes. the street name is Velvet Foot. I'm almost positive I looked up pictures of it on the internet to make sure I knew what I was talking about, or I could recognize it. That's what I should say. Do I know what I'm talking about when it comes to Velvet Foot? Probably not. I just don't know enough about it. But it came in number 2, and the number 3 is one that you may have heard of. Its scientific name is Lentinula eodes, or edodes. That's the same as the shiitake mushroom. So Velvet Foot, oyster mushroom is number 1, and shiitake is number 3 on the list. Now, you got to remember, this is a really aggressive form of prostate cancer. that completely stopped responding to all the chemotherapy. This is back in the 1970s, but it didn't work. It didn't do anything to stop it. Sure didn't kill it. So lo and behold, we have some crazy researcher trying to say, well, if it doesn't respond to chemotherapy, what if I give it some mushroom extracts? Well, lo and behold, oyster mushrooms seem to do a really, really good job. Now, I have a graph, and it shows, I'm telling you, the chart about, I forgot to read this part to you right here. I know I'm all over the place this morning. Just kind of bear with me. Let me go ahead and give out the phone number to the radio station. It's 903-589-8507. Let me read this a little bit to you, and this is what I was uncovering as I was reading this, and I thought this was interesting. There's a lot of this article I don't think is interesting at all, but there's some parts that are. It said the cancer-inhibiting effect of oyster mushroom became especially visible at higher concentrations over a relatively short period of time. And I don't know if you get what they're saying here is. They're saying it's not like it's going to take us a long time to figure out if this stuff is going to work at killing prostate cancer cells in the test tube. But let's find out real quick. And you know what the time frame was? 24 hours. I don't know how you feel about this, but when you want results, do you want to drag them out for 24 months or 24 weeks or 24 years? No. They showed great results within 24 hours. And so for the sake of conversation, they saw the oyster mushrooms. It was knocking this prostate cancer out in 24 hours. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Well, you hung up before I got to the phone line. So if you want to call back in, 903-589-8507. This program is Health Essentials. Now, this right here, they only did this testing for 2 weeks. And they said the most dramatic thing they saw was the extract's ability of the oyster mushroom. They completely prevented the cancer cells from growing into colonies. I know that's maybe my second point that I'm making now. You do not want cancer cells growing into colonies and then spreading. You don't want that. And so oyster mushroom, it was really good. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning. How are you today?
Okay, thank you. You have spoken about grounding before, and I'm sure you see it when you go online, on your phone, different parts. All these equipment, well, maybe not equipment.
Yeah,
but
I'm not a fan of that, though.
So I was just wondering, because not all of us can walk all the time barefooted, but it's like I was going
to... Well, why not? Can't you go to church tomorrow morning without any shoes on? No, I'm just joking.
So you don't see... is there any benefit? Is there anything that you think can be useful in any of those things available?
Well, I know what you're asking. You're asking if buying the grounding sheets and plugging in them into your ground and your outlet has benefit. Right. And I would say maybe. I hate to say it that way, but there's lots of people that I've seen use them, and I don't know that we've ever seen a difference at all. So you're telling me that you don't have 15 minutes a day to put your bare feet on the dirt?
I do. Is just find the dirt to go on.
Well, you're in good luck. We have a planet called Earth. It's full of it.
I just have to drag somewhere to go find them.
Yes, I'm going to recommend to, how about Jupiter, Florida, where they have white sand on the beach?
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. Okay. I just want to find out your opinion on that.
Well, and it's only an opinion. There's probably people that have a lot more experience than I do in studying that topic. But I'm pretty good about asking a person when they bring that up. If they say, hey, Dr. Morgan, I've got these grounding sheets that have silver wires in them. What do you think about that? Personally, I tried one for years. I couldn't tell a difference that it was a benefit at all.
Huh.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I did hear from a gentleman through a pastor was referring to this clinic in Florida where this gentleman has all kind of equipment, and one of the things he has is the grounding thing, and he said what differentiates him from the others is that he was actually found a way to kind of like in an outlet how you need to have the every outlet has to be grounded, and supposedly the things you buy out there, it is, well, it just lasts for a very short while because they kind of break the kind of like short circuit or no articulating well.
But his is different, right?
Yes, but he had a lot of people validating that, and he was.
Oh, I know. I can, but then again, in all fairness, I can find any website that you want. I could have. Let's just say, for example, somebody comes up with a sleep remedy called Relaxium. Maybe, I know I'll call it Luraxium so I don't get the name wrong. But you could have a million testimonies. But in the real world, you might have 95 out of 100 people say it's the worst remedy of all time and they feel worse for taking it. So you got to understand, people are very selective when it comes to money. And so... he can make a website, he can say whatever he wants, and maybe he's right. I don't want to be negative about it. But, okay, let me say two experiments right here. If you told me that sleeping outdoors on the ground was an option compared to sleeping on one of these mats, I already know which one's going to win. Sleeping outdoors on the ground is going to be the most therapeutic thing. Now, what you have to be careful of is mountain lions, timber wolves, rabid raccoons and skunks at night, because that could be a problem to your deep quality sleep,
I would say.
Now, and if you want to go ahead and get that pastor's device, go for it. But I don't, I mean, all you can do is if that's what brings you back to rejuvenation. Now, I'm going to say it differently. I'm going to switch my attention toward the most horrible effects upon the human body that keeps the body from healing is the effect of excess cortisol. Because cortisol will rip you to shreds. And what you can do is you can try every other method that you want to try to heal your body. It's not going to, as long as you have all this horrific cortisol. It just causes the brain to become dysfunctional. It leaves your nervous system in tatters. It sucks all the energy out of you. It just makes you ripe for disease. I would say that's the most important thing to do for the average person, because in America, we have found a way to be stressed all day long. I don't know if you've ever heard of people having what's called a cell phone, and then they spend time, you know, looking at it for hours on end. Boy, that's been shown to be a disaster for human health and brain function.
Well, you gotta have time for that. I guess some people do more than others.
Well, you're making a good point.
Life doesn't has enough trouble to stress
it does.
You out for sure.
It does. It's got. You know what? What does James say? Count it all joy when you encounter trials and tribulations. That means we're all going to have them.
That's right.
Yeah, there's just no way around that. Anyway, I may not have answered your question exactly the way that you know you posed it, but.
Yeah.
Are you saying that he? Well, that's all it is just an opinion. Now, this is an opinion. I can't say it's a fact. But is he selling a product that you're thinking about buying?
Well,
or have you already bought it?
No, I have not. No, I was curious because you see all these commercials, and it's like, yeah, there's I always like to validate before I purchase, especially if I can.
Well, what does it cost?
Well, the mattress cover is $800. Yeah, so you can buy for $50 somewhere else, but supposedly, anyhow, I was a
pastor. Oh yes,
that was actually he's teaching about health, and so and he was referring different things. And one was that he actually went to the clinic and took people and didn't tell anything about it, and they used one time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I hate to break it to you. That's the same song and dance that's been used for 400 years now. Every story begins with that same thing. You're not going to believe it. Our family was starving. I was going to take the cow to sell it to get some money to feed my family, but this witch was along the road, and she offered me some magic beans, and so she said it was a good trade. You know I'm just joking about that.
Yeah.
No, and I don't know, maybe, but that's the same song and dance and storyline they make every single time.
Yeah, unless you have some validation to make that kind of investment, you don't.
Well, what's your definition of validation?
Like what? You said, you tried and you saw the results.
Somebody, you know.
So that kind of, that's why I was talking to you.
Well, anyway, I mean, it's just an idea. But I mean, if I had 10 nights in a row that I could get you to sleep in your backyard on the ground and just put a tent over your bed, just lay on the ground at night.
I won't sleep well, but I may find a piece of dirt that I can't walk on it.
Okay, what's the number one reason why you won't sleep out in 39-degree weather at night? Just give me one good reason.
My idea of camping is a 4-star hotel. So
I think I see where you're coming from all of a sudden. Okay, well, but if I had 10 days on the ground sleeping, it would be night and day different. You would say, this is the calmest that I've ever been. This is the best that I've ever felt. I feel like my mind is not scattered. I can control it. My mind is clear. And I feel like my body's healing. But anyway, I don't know if you get that at the Hilton 5-star. Or do you like the Holiday Inn Express?
No.
Anyway.
All right.
So this is just a conversation. But yeah, I would say if you could spend energy and effort outdoors in the natural light and the sun, I would probably have a little bit more faith in you doing what's called buteyko breathing or breathing exercises and walking barefoot if you could do it. I have a feeling, though, from the way that you're telling me your story, that you have a lot of pressure to perform, which means you don't have a lot of free time to do what you want to do.
That is true.
So, can you clone yourself, though, and just have your clones do it all for you?
Darn it, I need to maybe find...
I think if you go to North Korea, they have a lab that'll do it for $27.95. They will clone they will clone you, and that way you can have an army of clones to do all your work.
Sounds like the grounding pad that you're talking about.
Well, you know what? And I am thinking of one person that told me they think they got fabulous results from it. So I'm all for that. But you know what? A lot of times if somebody tells me they had... And I'm not saying... Okay, I know this is bad the way I'm saying it. I'm not trying to say it's a gimmick. I think there's some validity to it, and I think there's value. But when I ask them, how are you doing? Then if I talk to them 2 years later, I'll say, are you still using it? And they go, oh, no, it stopped working, or something like that. You know, I don't know all the answers, but by and large, I would say no compared to getting to spend 30 minutes outside in the sun and just wear as few clothes as you can and let the sun touch your body. Doesn't that sound appealing to you?
Not really, but it worked out for my husband.
Ma'am, you're only talking about the Holiday Inn Express now and not the Roy Morgan plan. Wait, did you say that only works out for your husband? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. Yeah,
imagine that, a man that would like that sort of thing. No, and that's all good. I meant appropriately, of course. I don't mean where you're exposing yourself to the universe.
I know. I understand.
Well, at least just consider those.
I agree. I need to pursue that more. I've seen it do wonders for some other people. So
yeah, there you go. All right. Well, that sounds good.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye. I came across this right here. I found it in a book that I highlighted. Now, there's three parts of this. It's real quick. Okay, hang on. We're getting another phone call. And obviously, this phone call is extremely important. I can just tell. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
You've got to turn your radio off.
Yeah, I know. I've got to get across the room. Okay. My question is kind of a follow-up on the first caller, because I've been wanting to call and ask you questions about the grounding pads, but I also, I know it's important to get out in the dirt, and I try to do that, but I've been thinking about, it's going to be winter time, cold weather. I can't always get out in that time, and so I was thinking about the pads, but I have two flower pots that are, don't have flowers in them. They got dirt in them. So I get out sometimes, and I sit on my balcony, and I put a foot in each pot, and I hope my neighbors don't see me. And so my question is,
why are you worried they would think there's something going on in your head?
Right.
Like, okay, so now she's going to water her feet to see if something grows.
But I'm asking, is that just as good?
No.
I mean, I know it's not just as good, but will it work? I know I do feel better.
You know what? When you were a little girl, when you were like a little girl, there was no way they could keep shoes on your feet at all. And there was no way they could keep you from running around the yard when it was raining. They just couldn't do it. You can't do that to the child. They just naturally know. It's only when we grow up, we start putting all these rules and we start making all these excuses about why we can't do this or that.
Well, I've never been a barefoot person.
You just, see, you just did it again. You just did it one more time. You're making my... No, and I'm not trying to criticize you. But if you keep telling yourself, I've never been this, then I guess that's all you need to tell yourself you can't participate. I say that you can. Let me tell you how easy it is. You just...
Okay.
You just wake up out of bed, and you put your bare feet on the floor, or do you wear your high heels to... Do you wear your combat boots to bed?
No, but I wear the wool socks.
Well, I don't disapprove of that. I think that's good.
Well, I do it from hearing you.
Well, maybe this is the way that I need to say it. Just, it's your body. You're the steward of it. This is the earthen or the clay vessel that you live in. This is your temple of the Holy Spirit. You do with it as you wish. But if you want to keep your nervous system and your arteries in good working order, then you've got an opportunity. And so you can't say that you're so busy with work all day long that you can't find 10 to 15 minutes to be outside and put your feet on the ground.
Oh, no, I can't. But what about when it's really cold outside? Or
the results, the results are even better. The results are even better. Because what happens is when you put stress on the body, that's when the body says, oh, my goodness, I've got to do a better job of healing here. That's one of the reasons why. If I had an individual come to see me and they say, Dr. Morgan, I have the most severe pain in my feet. I've got the most severe leg pain. I'm miserable. I have severe neuropathy. Now, I can't talk many people into this because just about everybody rejects me. I'm used to, you know what? I am used to rejection. I'm good at it. I'm rejected every single day. But if they were to submerge that severely painful foot that refuses to heal, I know it's just pure brilliance for a neurosurgeon to recommend 1 million milligrams of gabapentin or Neurontin or Lyrica every day of their life for the rest of their life. But that ain't going to feel, that's not going to fix anything. There will be no healing that takes place. But if you could submerge your leg into a bucket of cold water, now, all of a sudden, the body's going to start releasing cold shock proteins. So when you release cold shock proteins, your body's going to start healing tissues that are not healing. It's really to your advantage. And I think, here's the bottom line. Sometimes I don't know anything about a topic. But once I dive into it and study it and read it, I think, you know what? Now I understand why I would do that. So if you understand that the cold, wet grass is actually very, very good for you, or the cold ground is good for you, all of a sudden you might be in a different position to... Because I want you feeling good all the time, because I want your body in good repair, good working order.
I do, too.
So what you're telling me is you're rejecting me, right?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to...
Well, what do you want to accomplish? What is the greatest good that you could obtain from what? What do you want?
Well, I want good health. I want to feel good. I want to do what's best for my body, and I'm working toward that goal. And that's why it's frustrating to me. I live on the third floor of an apartment building, and there's a lot of grass, and I walk out in the grass, and there's a spot at a bench where the grass has been, you know, where, and under a, kind of under a tree,
mm-hmm.
and so it's dirt right there. So I sit on the bench, and I put my feet in the dirt and move them around.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff.
I like that. That's and good.
I just don't get to do it very often.
What do you mean you don't get to? You're making it sound like you're not allowed out of the house.
No, that's not.
So, do you mean you don't
okay.
choose? Are you saying you don't choose to do it, or you're saying that somebody is forcing you, or they're not allowing you to do it?
I guess I have to say I'm not choosing to do it as much as I could.
Right.
And that's and I guess that's why I'm thinking ahead about the situation of winter coming up. And that's why I was going to also ask you about those pads, sitting with my feet on the pads in my apartment. So you're saying
what pads are you talking about? The grounding pads?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, you could try them. I could tell you, if I had to choose between two different types of devices or technology, I just purchased a book. I haven't read it yet. I plan on it. But it's called the Light Eaters. What do you think that book's about?
It's got to be about the sunshine eating up the disease.
Well, in a roundabout way, you're 100% correct. It's talking about the tremendous God-given intelligence that's in plants. And so when you eat, can I just say Brussels sprouts as one example?
Mm-hmm.
What you're really doing is you're eating the captured energy or light from the sun that's held within the plant. And so when you eat that, you're eating the light from the sun. I know that sounds weird, but that's really true. If I had to choose between maybe two things, and let me just kind of, I'm jumping a bunch of steps and I'm trying to get to what you want. Let's just say that you're concerned about the health of your feet and your circulation and your energy production and your nervous system and your legs and your feet. Let's just say you're concerned about that, that it may not be perfect. Well, what do we do to rejuvenate that? Well, you can get a grounding mat. I would probably have much more confidence in what's called red light therapy. Because at least with red light therapy, they're giving you a wavelength of light. It's usually somewhere around 650 nanometers to maybe 850. I've seen some at 870. So you go from the red spectrum of light all the way to, it's called near infrared. I hope you don't expect me to explain all the technical data on those wavelengths of light. But the near infrared, that's kind of invisible. You can't really see that with the naked eye. But all these things they're doing is they're imitating the wavelengths of light that come off the sun. So if you're on the third floor in your apartment quite a bit and that's where you hang out, then maybe getting a red light therapy emitting device would be good. I've seen them on Amazon for $40.
Mm.
And I've seen some that are pretty high quality for like $250. So I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but that red light therapy. And let me tell you the reason I was looking at that. I had earlier this week, I was looking at the idea of what happens if somebody has severe damage to the spinal cord or to a nerve. And, you know, there's lots of reasons why that could be. It could be a person had a car wreck, or maybe they had a sports injury, or they were working on the roof of a house and they fell off and they, you know, they have severe damage to a nerve because it was just a crushing injury. You know, just make up any story you want. But I was reading about they damaged the spinal cord of mice, but then they exposed them to what's called red light therapy. Actually, red light, that's the light that comes into the atmosphere about 1 hour before you go to sleep. Before the sun sets. That's what I meant to say. But you just, when you're out there, like at 5:15, you're getting the red light.
So
God knows what he's doing. God's a genius. But in the study on mice with damaged nerves, it was shown to stimulate the migration of fibroblasts down to the damage so it could make repairs. And so everything that I want to talk about has to do with what do we do to get the body back in good healing and good repair? How do we get the body to mend itself? And that's where, and if that's the case, that's when you tell me, man, I'm in good working order. I have energy. I feel great. I understand what I have to do to maintain it. So red light therapy is where I'd put my dollar instead of the grounding mats, if I had a choice. Now, I know that's not what you're asking me, but I'm trying to educate you about a few things. But if you looked up red light therapy, there are so many books and there's so many articles on this. But this could actually improve the performance and the function of the mitochondria in all the cells of your body. And I promise you, that is what you want. That is exactly what you want. More energy, feeling better. So maybe I'm giving you a good suggestion when it comes to the red light therapy.
Yeah, sounds like you are.
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay, well, thank you. I will look both of these up. And these books, are they something I can order?
Absolutely you can.
Okay. They're not out of print or anything.
I don't think they are. No, for example, you could go. Do you ever heard of YouTube before?
Oh yeah.
You could type.
I've gotten on it more since you've been mentioning it than I ever have before.
Well, you know what? It's just like so easy to learn something. Even if I don't know anything about the topic, I could probably find a lecture or a podcast. Like, I'm totally wasting your time on this one, but this week I was listening to a pediatrician give a lecture, and I thought it was so interesting. And the pediatrician said this. I'd never heard this before. He said when they have done studies on young teenage boys, and so if he says a young teenage boy, I'm just thinking 13, 14, or 15. Does that sound reasonable to you too?
Yeah, that's what came to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we agree. So he said if they smoke a little bit of marijuana every single day, what happens to their intelligence? And so for the sake of conversation, intelligence has a little bit to do with making good decisions versus making bad decisions, right? But he showed that if they smoke a little bit of marijuana frequently, it lowered their intelligence by 8 points. Now, I don't know if you know much about IQ testing. Yeah, it sounds like you do. There is a huge difference between someone having an IQ score of, 100 versus somebody that's 92. That's a big difference. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do anything to lower your intelligence? Well, I don't.
No.
Anyway, so you could go on to YouTube and you could type in red light therapy. And so whatever topic you're after, so do you have neuropathy in your feet where you have pain, tingling, numbness?
Well, I was experiencing that, but then I did what you said. I rubbed up in castor oil and put on the wool socks.
Okay, good.
And that was like a night and day.
Oh, good.
My feet. Yeah.
I'm sure you just helped somebody by telling them that.
People don't want to hear it. They just don't want to know. They don't want to change what they're doing.
Why do you think that is?
They reject everything that you've told me that I pass on to somebody who is experiencing something that you've talked about. They totally, they talk about how their doctor's taking care of them or how they're taking a certain vitamin or whatever.
That excuses them from any responsibility.
Yeah, I just keep my mouth shut now and just get your advice and use it.
I think I've told the story many times on the radio about how I walked up to the woman that was pouring Pepsi Cola in the baby bottle to give her baby.
Yes.
It did not go well. I mean, you know what? What was I thinking? Was I like delusional saying, oh, this woman's going to just say, oh, your name's Dr. Morgan. Oh, that's great. Thank you. I didn't know that. My doctor told me that breast milk was bad and I was going to give Pepsi Cola. No, it didn't work that way at all.
No, it doesn't. So, you know.
No, they think that you're, and I realize it's always pretty dicey and iffy if you don't have a relationship. But, you know, the other thing is, Sometimes people just experience one failure after the other before they come to their senses, mm-hmm. and they start saying, oh my goodness. I mean, do you remember one of the greatest stories of all time in the Bible? It's a story of the prodigal son. I mean, it's in the book of Luke, but it's like, it's right. got to be one of the greatest stories that's ever been recorded in the pages of any book. It just happens to be in the Bible. But until that prodigal son came to his senses, he could not think straight about what a better option would be. He finally yeah. came to his senses and said, I was wrong, which means he humbled himself, right?
Right.
But sometimes right. people have to suffer, and God has designed the body to do a very good job of warning us and alerting us. So, to me, the feet tell you everything you need to know about health. So if somebody doesn't have hair on their toes, that's bad circulation. If they got a lot of swelling around their ankles and their feet, that's either going to be diabetes, which the latest study, the survey from Oxford University shows, a type 2 diabetic, you just go ahead and take 20 years off their lifespan. But I don't like that. I'm just like you and everybody that's listening. We need those 20 years to honor God and to do the work that He has for us to do and to be about the Lord's business. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
So there's a value to health, but if you don't listen to your feet, then it's just going to be hard to keep the rest of the body healthy.
Never thought about that.
Now you know. Now you know why I want you dancing.
My whole body.
It is, but that's why I want you dancing around and splashing in puddles of rain after a rain shower.
Okay. They may really put me in an institution, but I'll try it.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that would like to send me down to Rust State Hospital right now.
Well,
anyway, thanks for your...
I know there's other people waiting to call, but thank you so much for
you
all
betcha.
This good information.
Thanks for your patience. You're a good girl. Bye-bye.
You have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks, man. Bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line open, 903-586-589. Oh, man, I botched it again. 903-589-8507. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, doctor. This is Pasadena Kid.
Pasadena, Texas, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
and
good
we
deal.
We rode our bikes in those mosquito foggers.
You know what? Now, what would you do? Would you run for your life, or would you still dive headlong into the mosquito fogger?
Boy, would I change a lot of things that I did wrong with growing up sometimes and stuff like that.
But you do realize what you're saying. There was a time they thought it was perfectly fine to allow children to follow the mosquito fogging truck, right?
That's right.
They didn't know better, but now they know that stuff is so toxic, you don't want to kill a bunch of kids.
And every time he would turn the corner there in Pasadena with his mosquito fogging machine, he'd look back and those kids would be riding in that fog, and he'd run us off, but...
So he tried.
Yeah.
You were just too fast. No, go ahead.
You were talking about mushrooms this morning, and I was going to ask you a couple of questions about the mushrooms. Now, when I lived in Alaska, we used to go out to about a big forest fire, and we would harvest morel mushrooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they'd pop up after the top burned off, you know, and the tundra would burn away, and then the morels would pop up.
Yeah, but they're trying to bring life back to the soil. That's why they're growing after a fire. So that's good.
Yeah, but I didn't catch all the information about the type of mushrooms, and I didn't know if just any mushrooms were good for that or not.
No, I'm glad you're asking. In this study, they were looking at real bad forms of prostate cancer cells, and they wanted to find out of about 24 different species of mushrooms, which one did the very best at getting rid of prostate cancer cells. An oyster mushroom was number two. I think the one called velvet foot. I can't remember. I think it's called Velvet Foot. Let me look it up. Yes, Velvet Foot. And the third one was shiitake. I think you've probably heard of shiitake or oyster, haven't you?
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it. Yeah.
So,
well, I'm gonna,
eat them.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to start looking into that and reading up on it. But one more real quick thing. Sometimes, from time to time, I will get just, I'll start yawning and I can't quit, just one after another for a long time. What causes that?
Well, most likely that's a reflex telling your body that you're starving for oxygen and what can we do to get more oxygen in. And so let me give you a for instance or a scenario. If you find it difficult to breathe through your nose exclusively at night,
I can't breathe out of my right side.
Yeah.
And they say you're not supposed to sleep on your right side.
If you wake up with your mouth really dry, if you feel exhausted when you wake up, if you don't sleep great and feel totally refreshed, if you're waking up multiple times, those are all signs of low oxygen. So what you really need to do is you really need to start doing some things to improve your airway of your nasal breathing is really the total. It's like the cheat code for improving human health. If you can breathe through your nose, then you can do almost anything. So if you went to YouTube, you could type in what's called Buteyko breathing. There's another guy that I like very much. He has a channel called Oxygen Advantage. I think I agree with that. It is an advantage to have oxygen. So if you would start breathing exercises and give yourself a few weeks, if we can unclog your nose and your sinuses, that's maybe where getting a salt inhaler with 2 drops of Lugol's iodine is probably going to go a long way to clearing out all the infections that you have in your nasal passages. And when I say infections, it's just the way it is. I mean, you're going to take my word for it. You have continual low-grade infections. If you go to a doctor and they do a blood test called a complete blood count, one of the things they measure on that test is a white blood cell count. They're just measuring the number of white blood cells. Anytime that test comes back less than 5.7, then bingo, you got a chronic infection. Or another way of saying it is, if you have a simple test called hemoglobin A1C, I think every doctor and nurse practitioner in the universe does it. If that is 5.7 or above, then you got a chronic infection. So white blood cell count below 5.7 is infection. Hemoglobin A1C at 5.7 or above is infection. You got an infection.
Okay. That's helpful. So I'll have to do some reading up on that and study.
When's the last time you have had blood work done?
I had never had any blood work except for giving blood.
Okay. Well, do they ever tell you what the measurements are when you give blood? Because usually they do.
Let me think a minute. I don't remember doing that. But you told us one time, I think I was doing it wrong. You're supposed to give whole blood. Does that make sense?
Well, that's what I would recommend as a general rule. I mean, I am not a fan of giving plasma at all. No way, Jose. Not going to do it. If a person wants to get really sick, give plasma.
Uh-huh.
There are other reasons why you might do like a double platelet where they keep you laying down for like a longer period of time to get that stuff out. Like if somebody had hemochromatosis or, you know, too much iron, too much blood, too many platelets. There's all sorts of scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. So
you probably don't even need you don't even need to go to a doctor because you're like 115. Is that correct? Am I close?
I just turned 78 the other day, and when I was 77, I thought, "Is this all I'm going to live?" Because that's the number of completion. So I've turned 77. I lived a whole nother year.
Well, you're in bonus time right now, aren't you?
I think so, yeah.
Well, so you're in bonus. I can't remember where I read this the other day, but they think that when they scrub all the numbers clean, the average lifespan for a man in America now is like 72.6 years. I'm going, 72? That doesn't seem like, but, you know, Americans don't really have great health.
Yeah.
But you 78, you've already outlived the average man living in America.
And I wouldn't have lived that long if I hadn't quit drinking.
What'd you drink?
Oh, I was a notorious alcoholic beer.
That's oh, right. Well, that takes a lot of courage for a man
God
to say that.
1974. Yeah, 1974, when I was born again, big things changed for me.
Isn't that incredible? Way to go.
I give God the glory for that.
So, ask me whatever questions you want, but you're asking about the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Specifically, it was the oyster mushroom, the shiitake, and the velvet foot. All those are edible, by the way, in case you didn't know. I'm not trying to tell you about a mushroom called the death cap mushroom that if you eat it, you die. I don't want you eating that one.
Okay, real quick, before I hang up, you said something about a kit to grow them with?
Yeah, you could go on, for example, there's a website called Amazon. If you just typed in oyster mushroom grow kit, they sell them, and that way you just buy it and you can grow all the mushrooms you want in your own home. Or in your case, if you're in Alaska, they have an outhouse. Have you ever used an outhouse before?
You're gonna laugh at this. When I had an outhouse in Wiseman, Alaska, friends would fly up from Fairbanks to visit me, and they would go into my outhouse and they'd come out laughing, come back in the cabin. Corbin, why do you have a plunger in your outhouse? I says, now wait a minute, you got to realize something. Up here, it doesn't thaw out till spring, so we have to use something to knock those stalactites down. So that's what I use the plunger for.
I'm sorry. I have a mental image and I can't stop laughing. Oh boy.
I better let somebody else get on here.
Did you put up a sign that grizzly bears could use the outhouse? Never mind. No, thank you very much for the phone call, buddy. Have a good day.
All right. Too,
take care. Bye. All right, let me read this to you right here. There was a study 2011, it came from University of Haifa in Israel, that suggests that a high salt intake may help buffer the effects of stress, serving as an adaptive coping mechanism for dealing with psychological and emotional adversity. Now, you're probably wondering, why am I bringing that up? It's because your body needs real salt, not processed salt. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. Had a side question on grounding. It's not really grounding, but it brings up the question to me. All these electrical power lines around, should we not be living under them?
Yeah, we should not. We should not be living under them. Yeah. If you had a choice to put your house under major power lines or not, you want to be as far away from them as you can.
What's a good minimum to be away from them?
Well, you know what? I don't know, but as far as possible. Like, for example, this is only an example. So, you do remember there's a radio frequency called AM radio, right?
Yes.
You're driving down the highway, let's just say you're going to visit a parish somewhere or a church, and you have your AM radio on because you want to listen to the Dallas Cowboys playing on a Saturday or something like that. What's going to happen when you pass directly under those big honking power lines and you got your AM radio station? What do you experience?
Some interruptions.
Yeah. And that's what they do. They emit an electromagnetic radiation that's just very, I think it's just very harmful. Whereas grounding is what you want. That's not the harmful form of radiation. That's the part that heals the body. So, just like the AM radio in your pickup truck, it completely goes, it just kind of interferes with the signal. You can't hear anything until you're out from under it and away from it. I don't know how far you have to be away from it, but, man, I would guess it takes just a little while, maybe a second or two. You got to probably be like, what, 100 yards away from it before you can start hearing the radio again until it doesn't interfere?
Yep. Uh-huh.
So that's only the example about these big, big power lines, you know, that would go across, you know, the county of Cherokee or something like that.
Okay. Well, I've got a few acres, and I've got an easement across my property that has those electrical lines on. And I do my walking around the pasture, and part of the time I'm going under those power lines. Is that harmful, do you think?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but here on your property, you've got trees, and you know what trees do for us? They're constantly protecting us from the harmful effects of this world we're living in, so they soak up toxins and poisons. Could you imagine living on an earth where there wasn't one plant? We'd probably be dead from poisons, wouldn't we?
Amen.
But the other thing that trees do that I find very interesting is they capture that red wavelength of light from the sun, and they get that near infrared spectrum, and they bounce it and reflect it back onto our skin. So even if you're walking on your hike around your property and you walk under the trees, man, those trees are doing you a favor. They're trying to bounce energy from the sun onto your body where it can make you vital and energetic and whole.
I think
what you should do is you should do a dead sprint for 100 yards under the power lines to get away from them as fast as possible.
Okay.
I'm kind of joking a little bit, but I don't really know the answer to the question. I need to study that a little bit more where I can give you like an accurate answer.
Okay.
But if you were to go camping, would you rather go camping in the woods away from the power lines, or would you like to set up your camp or your tent right under the power lines? No, you don't want to be under the power lines.
Correct.
It just interferes. And actually, would you believe me if I told you that every cell in your body is supposed to generate around 3.9 volts, almost 4 volts of electricity? It's just incredible the amount of energy that a cell produces. That's one of the reasons why when I mentioned salt, salt contains what are called electrolytes. And electrolytes generate electricity. I mean, this is all God's great design, but without the minerals in salt and without the earth, and you're like a solar-powered battery. Your body's an antenna trying to absorb wavelengths of light from the sun. I read this the other day. They were saying that people that are outdoors a lot actually have very little mental illness, but people that are indoors all the time, lots of mental illness. As a minister, have you ever come across somebody that had severe mental illness?
Yes.
I knew that was a dumb question for me to ask, but it's very, very difficult to observe in real life, isn't it? Yeah, that's an understatement, isn't it? But how much time do they spend outside?
Probably very little.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. Just like they did a study on depression, and they had women walk outdoors and women walk indoors on a treadmill. Guess which one got over the depression? The ones that walked outdoors.
Outdoors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like what you're doing, though. I love it that you're outside walking on your property. I bet every time that you walk on it, you say, "Thank you, Lord. This is so beautiful.
Amen.
I can't believe I get to do this every day. This is so much fun." You probably say that, don't you?
Well, I forget a lot.
You probably tell your friends, "Does God know how much fun I'm having today?"
we should thank him much more.
Yeah, I think that's a good suggestion you just made. Anyway, we're completely out of time for today, but Lord willing, I will be back this time next week.
God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you. You have a great day, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.